At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, and Joseph Vollmer, the executive director of Secure Free Society. Ernesto, in your dealings with Bolivia, this is a state that's passed back and forth between populist left and authoritarian left, depending upon how you define that. We have a headline in these last hours. Bolivia's government said on last week it will temporarily suspend exports of food and products, including soy and beef, amid protests in the key farming region of Santa Cruz. I'm going to speak to Joseph in particular about this, but in general, your relations between Brazil and Bolivia, were they smooth? Were they bumpy? Were they now and again? How is Bolivia regarded in the continent?
So, John, during my term, relations with Bolivia were quite cold from the Brazilian point of view because under Evo Morales, Bolivia was under the spell of the São Paulo Forum and a strong partner of the São Paulo Forum, the totalitarian project and a narco-totalitarian project for the region. We had a brief moment of very good cooperation under the provisional government of Jeanine Yanez. But later, I mean, with the new election, which apparently was not frauded, and the reinstatement of a Morales sympathizer there, things went south again. But recently, I mean, people who are there managing the foreign policy now are trying to turn a blind eye to everything that's São Paulo Forum related. I think it's basically a relationship of indifference now to Bolivia.
Joseph, I come to you because these protests seem very specific, but then again, they're challenging the credibility of the government. The Reuters report goes on. This is based in La Paz. The move to block, suspend exports of food. The move is aimed at safeguarding food security in Bolivia, said the Minister of Productive Development, adding that the export suspension will include soybean grain, soybean flour, soybean meal, sugar, oil, and beef. What's driving this, Joseph, all of a sudden?
So, John, what's driving the protests that are going on in Santa Cruz, Bolivia? Let's say first that Santa Cruz is the largest region in Bolivia. It's also the most populous and most productive in terms of economic production inside the country. So this matters a lot inside Bolivia. But the first is that the government is trying to essentially push back a national census that's supposed to take place in 2023, and they want to push it back to 2024 after the next election. And this obviously has set off the opposition movement, the political opposition in Santa Cruz, who think they're doing this because they don't want to have to deal with the growth in the population in Santa Cruz that would make a major factor in the new election. So that's what set off the current protests. But let me say a couple of things, John, because first, Bolivia really is this lost autocracy in South America. You know, when you hear about the big authoritarian or even totalitarian regimes in the region, you often hear Cuba, you hear about Venezuela, you hear Nicaragua. But you don't hear a lot about Bolivia, but people forget Bolivia under Evo Morales was part of that same movement. And the current government of Bolivia, which is the same political party called the Movement Towards Socialism, is still very much influenced by Evo Morales. And the president of the country, Luis Arce, was his former finance minister. So Bolivia doesn't get grouped into this group of authoritarian nation states, but it very much is. It imprisoned the former president unjustly, without any real serious evidence, claiming anything from genocide to coup d'etat. And they're basically one of the major authoritarian nation states in the region. The other thing, John, is that Evo Morales is still very active inside Bolivia. Now, he is not the president anymore, but in some ways you could argue that he has still even more power because he controls the cocaleros. The cocaleros are in Chapada in Bolivia, in the center of the country, where it's the major coca-growing region of Bolivia. But it's also a major cartel area because, remember, cocaine originally comes from the coca leaf, and that's originally produced mostly inside Chapada, inside Bolivia. And Evo Morales, that's his home base. That's where he's creating this. So what we're seeing now, John, is we're seeing a potential clash among the opposition movements in Santa Cruz and the cocaleros from the coca-growing region in Bolivia, And hopefully it won't turn violent, but there's some indication, especially this past weekend, that this couldn't turn into a violent clash, which could spark a civil conflict that's been always on the tension inside the country for years.
President Arce, a man who won that post, I believe, with the permission, the approval, certainly not the opposition of Evo Morales. Is he surprised by this, Joseph? Is this these protests and his response, is this surprising of his conduct?
I wouldn't say that he's surprised. He's actually left the country recently, which is very interesting. But I would actually say he might be catalyzing part of this, because there's been this historic ethnic tension between the east and west of Bolivia. If you could go back even 500 years ago in during the colonial rule, there really wasn't the same ethnic composition in these two parts of the country. But when Evo Morales became president of Bolivia, he intensified that tension by attacking Santa Cruz consistently and systematically over many years. When Jeanine Añez became president, and she comes from the eastern part of the country, not Santa Cruz specifically, she comes from Beni, but nonetheless, it's called Gambas in the east. She actually helped to try to create a balance among Bolivia, that we're all Bolivians and they don't need to have this ethnic tension that's been historic. But when Luis Arce became president, he reignited that tension. And he's been attacking that part of Bolivia consistently over this short period of government. So this is something I don't think is necessarily surprising to him. But I think in many ways he might have catalyzed this confrontation, because they've been looking for it. The movement towards socialism has been looking for it for several years.
And Ernesto, quickly, your present measure of Bolivia, is it in a position to be helped by Brazil, to be helped by Lula da Silva, or are these separate? Are these separate silos who don't have much commerce with each other?
Well, I think drug trafficking in Bolivia will certainly be helped by Lula. He's an old ally of Evo Morales. The Brazilian PCC cartel is already, as I hear, operating very intensely inside Bolivia. They're the ones that they do the export of cocaine that comes from Bolivia through the southeast of Brazil and then to Europe, especially. That's one of the main routes for cocaine in the world right now. So I see, the state-to-state cooperation, I think, is less relevant. Relevant will be the real cooperation among the criminal gangs in both countries that tend to be supported by, will be supported by the Lula government, and is being supported by the Arce government.
Joseph, I come to you because what can we look for in Bolivia into the future? The suspension of food exports seems a very strange way to approach control. This is going to cut into the revenue that's flowing to La Paz. So what are you anticipating here? I mean, this is an outlier given the pink tide, but it does look like an internal protest that could grow. Is that accurate?
Yeah, John, I think we have to be looking out for a potential conflict that could get bloody. I mean, it actually could have confrontations. Bolivia is not a stranger to having violent confrontations. It's happened throughout its history. But I think also we need to be very careful, and this is within the international context, of false narratives that are formed out of Bolivia, mainly by the movement towards socialism and Evo Morales and even in the current government, that essentially try to talk about a civil war. They've been trying to build that narrative for many years. They've been trying to exacerbate that conflict for the more recent months. And what they basically try to say is that the east of Bolivia is arming themselves in order to attack as quote-unquote domestic terrorists against the Bolivian government. But the reality is you can't compare the two. I mean, they tried this in Venezuela and other places, this false narrative of civil conflict, civil war, because they're trying to essentially say that the east and the west are parity when it comes to armed movements. And that's not true. The Cocaleros are an armed movement. They've already proven that they're an armed movement that's financed by narco trafficking and cocaine. And not to mention that they control the government. That means they control the military and the police. So these aren't parity partners. This is basically an opposition movement that may have some bad apples within, but they don't have the ability to actually engage in a real civil war, as that would be the false narrative that some people in Bolivia would try to push out.
Is this a harbinger of things to come in the region, Joseph, or is it going to stay in Bolivia? We have other troubled countries nearby.
That is a great question. And I think the country that most should be paying attention to this conflict is Peru, because the indigenous movements that have been co-opted by the Evo Morales and his political players extends all the way into Peru. And Pedro Castillo, this is another country that's also facing this ethnic tension, this civic tension, north-south, that could also fuel into violence. So I think, I think this is going to play out regionally. I don't think it's just going to be concentrated in Bolivia.
And finally, is Arce a disappointment to Evo Morales and his colleagues? Is Arce not measuring up?
So there are some that believe that inside Bolivia, that there's some friction between Evo Morales and Luis Arce. I'm not one of those people. I actually think that Luis Arce is a puppet of Evo Morales, and I think he's played a good role as the puppet of Evo Morales because he's done essentially everything that Evo Morales has wanted when it comes to creating a conflict inside Bolivia. That's the goal, John. The goal is to create a conflict inside Bolivia so that they can be able to empower the illicit actors that operate throughout, not just Bolivia, but throughout Latin America.
And Peru itself is unstable, to make an understatement. Castillo is not a strong hand in Peru, so is it vulnerable to this same concentration of power?
Absolutely, and not just the concentration of power. It's vulnerable to the conflict spilling over across the border into his part of South America, into the Republic of Peru. And I actually think these movements are very tied together. Evo Morales, and this has been reported on frequently, not just by our show, but by other media outlets, of how much Evo Morales has been involved in the local politics inside Peru. Right. He's traveled to the country many times. He's been consulted with the Castillo government on many occasions. And these networks, if you essentially diagram them, they're very well integrated from Bolivia to Peru and even to the northern part of Chile.
Joseph Umar, Secure Free Society, Ernesto Araújo, former Foreign Minister of the Republic of Brazil. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more. My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.